Chapter 28. When we make it up to the mountain base control room, there are only 6 Moogs left in a space that could accommodate 5 times that. They're all glued to a bank of monitors attached to the cave wall, fixating on the screens that show the base's exterior. On those screens, the rest of our group are destroying the many Vatborn protecting the entrance to the mountain. Adam and I are invisible. These 6 don't hear us come in. I give his arm a squeeze, asking if he's ready to take this group down. He pats my hand slowly twice, a signal to wait. Looking closer, I realize all these Moogs are Trueborn. They cradle blasters, but they don't look all that eager to rush out and join the fray. A male Trueborn with a stupid mohawk says something in Mogadorian to a female Trueborn with long braids. She snaps back at him. They're arguing. The others join in. Suddenly, Mohawk aims his blaster at Braid's face. She follows suit. In a matter of seconds, they're all pointing guns at each other, still yelling harsh words in Mogadorian. It's a tense situation that I'm happy to help along. With my telekinesis, I depress one of the blaster triggers, then another. The Trueborn do the rest, screaming with rage and firing into each other. In a matter of seconds, they're all down. A few of them begin to disintegrate in sections. I let go of Adam's arm, and we turn visible. He puffs out his cheeks with a sigh, looking down at these dead Trueborn with disappointment, and then begins searching the control panels for the one that operates the mountain's force field. "What were they fighting about?" I ask him. Like the Moogs before, my eyes are drawn to the battle playing out on screen. The one with the mohawk wanted to know how this could happen. He wanted to know why beloved leader would allow the Anubis to fall, why he'd let the guard get this far, Adam explains morosely. The woman, she said that Cetricus Ra has gone mad, that the augmentations are disturbing. The others called this blasphemy and... He waves his hand in the air, indicating that I know the rest. Huh. I reply, glancing down at the female Moog. Unlike the others, she hasn't disintegrated at all. I nudge her with my toe, and her head lolls to the side. It's weird to me when they leave bodies. Makes me feel something I'd almost call guilt. Maybe we should have helped her. Adam shakes his head. She would have tried to kill us, he replies. Rex didn't. If there are other sympathetic Mogadorians like Rex, we will not find them in the heat of battle, he responds. Adam finds the right interface and begins to hit a few buttons. A flashing symbol pops up on his screen, a warning in any language. He makes an annoyed noise and keys in another sequence. I've got to bypass a security protocol, he says. See if there's a key card on one of those bodies. Quickly, I pat down the Mogadorian uniforms. I find a plastic chip in the front pocket of the first Trueborn I check, blow some dust off it, and hand it over to Adam. Great, he says. He inserts the key card, throws a lever, and seconds later there's a loud electric sigh. Adam turns to me. Shields are down. Awesome, I reply. I feel a tickle in my mind, like for a moment there's someone else taking up space in my brain. That's Ella checking in. She's probably already reported our progress to John. I clap my hands. Let's hit it. Wait, Adam says hesitantly. There's something I need to tell you before. Before it's too late. I cock my head. Right now? Adam nods, his lips in a tight line. John has asked me to go back to our warship and destroy this mountain. If you don't kill Cetricus Ra, he wants me to bring it down, even if you're still in here. I think this over for a moment. Okay. So? So? He replies, incredulous. Yeah, so what? If we don't kill Cetricus Raw, then we're probably dead anyway, right? I shrug. Do what he told you. What about living to fight another day? I think we're about out of more days, don't you? Time to end this, one way or the other. If Adam has any more protests to make, they're cut off by a flash of light on the monitors. Both of us turn to watch as our warship opens fire on the Moogs outside, John and the others safely ensconced under what looks like a stone turtle shell. They'll be in soon, I say. Let's get down to meet the... My sentence finishes in a wet cough. I look down at myself, puzzled by a sudden pain in my chest. There's a sharpened tentacle of oily Mogadorian ooze protruding from under my left breast. It went in my back, between the shoulder blades. I can feel it, itchy and burning inside me. Nicked a lung, probably. My breath wheezes out of me. Blood on my lips. Oh, is all I think to say. Six, Adam shouts. Oh, how I hoped it would be you two, says a familiar voice behind me. I turn my head because I'm unable to move the rest of my body, impaled as I am by a tentacle. Firi Dunra stands in the control room doorway. Her augmentation is just like John described, a sickening mass of writhing black ooze that's attached to her shoulder where her arm should be. She's killed me. I can't believe it. Dust acts the quickest. He lunges away from Adam's side, his wolf form growing huge, gray fur bristling over his muscular back, teeth gnashing. He hits Firi Dunra with his massive front paws and knocks her off her feet. His teeth snap in front of her face, but she manages to lean her head back just enough to avoid getting bitten. One of her tentacles wraps around Dust's snout, muzzling him. The others begin to stab at his body. Still, the Chimera struggles, clawing at her and pressing his weight down. As a result of Dust's attack, Fury's tentacle snaps out of me. I would probably fall over if Adam wasn't there to catch me. He presses a hand to my wound, helping me to lean against the wall. My blood bubbles over his hand, and I can tell by the panic in his eyes that it doesn't look good. Six, we need to get you to Marina or John. Adam's cut off by a yelp, and then a heavy weight smashes into both of us. It's Dust, thrown by Firi Dunra's sick appendage. His fur is soaked with blood, piercings from Firi's tentacles all over his rapidly shrinking form. He tries to stagger to his feet and almost makes it before his legs buckle. Dust's dark eyes settle on Adam as he lies down on his side, whimpers once, and then is still. Adam screams. Firi Dunra has only now gotten back to her feet, her face and chest covered in Dust's claw marks. Adam takes up his blaster and fires. He gets her once in the chest, but the next two shots are absorbed by her tentacles. She ducks back out the doorway, running for cover. Six, it's Ella's voice in my mind. I'm sending the others up to help you. No, I think back, forcing myself to stand. We've got this. Tell them to focus on Cetricus Ra. But... I imagine Firi Dunra taking control of my or Adam's legacies, using them to get behind the rest of our friends, then wiping them out. I call to mind John's secret orders to Adam, how he's supposed to destroy the mountain base if anything goes wrong. And I think about the time Ella herself leaped into a torrent of Loric energy because she knew it meant defeating Cetricus Ra. Priorities. Sacrifices. We stop Fury Dunra here. We make sure the others don't have any surprises creeping up behind them. I stagger to my feet, even though it isn't easy. When I try to take a deep breath, my body's response is to fill my chest with a shooting pain. It feels like I've got a stitch in my entire left side. I can still fight, though. I have to. I cover my wound with one hand as best I can, and limp after Adam. He's already barreled his way into the hallway and raged, chasing after Fury Dunra. He squeezes off a couple more blaster shots. She leaps up, her tentacle wraps around a stalactite, and she yanks herself over Adam's attack. Then she slings herself back at Adam. Fury Dunra kicks the blaster out of Adam's hand. Before she can slice into Adam with her tentacles, I shove her with my telekinesis and slam her into the wall. I keep her pinned there, a telekinetic weight against her chest. The muscles in her neck strain as she tries to jerk forward and can't. Six, you... Adam looks surprised to see me standing, like he's going to admonish me for getting back in the fight. I try to gulp down a breath while maintaining my telekinetic hold on Fury and feel like I'm about to throw up. I lean against the doorway of the control room. I'm fine, I wheeze. Finish her. Adam turns to Fury, and of course she starts talking. Doesn't it bother you to be on the losing side of history, Sutek? Fury asks, high-pitched desperation in her voice. This is what winning looks like to you, Fury? Adam replies dryly, picking up his blaster. Fury rambles on, screeching.
When these battles are added to the Great Book, you will be a cautionary tale, a traitorous footnote, a...
Shut up already, I say. She strains against my telekinesis to no avail, even her augmented appendage futilely squirming, only capable of writhing against the wall. Unlike in Mexico, Marina's not around to keep us from killing this bitch. After what she did to John, to Dust, to everyone at Patience Creek, I don't think Marina would raise any objections even if she was. The sound of a blaster ends Fury Dunra's pleas. My back burns, Fury Dunra cackles. Adam spins around, wide-eyed. I glance behind me, see the true-born woman with the braids, the one we thought was dead, half sitting up. She just shot me in my back. Adam fires on her, takes her head clean off. But the startling fresh pain was enough. For the briefest of moments, I lose my grip on Fury Dunra. Her tentacles lash out. Two of them plunge right into Adam's abdomen, and he immediately doubles over. The other gropes for me, but I throw myself backwards into the control room, avoiding it. Through all the pain I'm feeling, I try to grab Fury Dunra with my telekinesis. She stomps down on the ground, and a seismic tremor knocks me backwards, slamming me hard against one of the metal computer cases. There's a groan beneath us, like old stones shifting and scraping together. I cough blood onto the shaky floor. Fury Dunra laughs cheerfully. Amazing! I wasn't sure if you'd have a Lorik spark to feed on, Adam Moose. I thought you were simply an early augmentation, a failed experiment. Fury smacks her lips like she's trying to figure out what she's tasting. But you really are like them. Will it make you happy to die knowing you were special, the worst of both worlds? Adam hangs limp from Fury's tentacles. I can see motes of Lorik energy winking through the oily mass of her deadly limb, pulled from Adam and into her. I try to push myself up, but my arms give out. Slowly, Adam raises his head, tossing dark hair out of his eyes. He stares at Fury Dunra. "I am like them," he says through gritted teeth. "But I am also like you." Adam plunges his hands into the black oil of her tentacles. They both gasp, her in shock, him in pain, as the ooze coalesces over his hands. He pulls backwards, and the ooze begins to tear itself away from the stump of Fury's shoulder and bond with Adam. It must recognize his Mogadorian genetics. The sick substance is tangled between the two of them. The flow of Loric energy from Adam to Fury stops. "What?" she starts to say, wild-eyed. Adam stomps on the ground. A powerful tremor spreads out from him. The resulting rumble is deafening. The cavern floor breaks open. Stalactites snap loose from above. A chasm opens up beneath the two Mogadorians. Fury Dunra tries to recoil, tries to grope for the ledge with her arms, her tentacles, but Adam holds on to her tightly. They fall into the darkness. "Adam!" I scream. Despite the jagged, blinding pain throughout my chest, I dive towards the edge of the newly created pit. I reach out with my telekinesis. Too late. Nothing but shadows down there. He's gone. "Adam," I say, my hands hanging limply into the chasm, blood pooling on the rocks beneath me.